الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There's a very famous hadith which many times in the past we've discussed and talked about different angles of this hadith. It comes in both Tirmidhi and Muslim, in which, as everybody in this room is aware, there's a circumstance in which a group of people gather together for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that hadith, we learned that there are angels. It's a lengthy hadith, so I just want to talk about one aspect of it. In that hadith, we learn that there are angels whose purpose in creation is to scan the earth to identify the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being remembered, where the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is occurring. And those angels, they scan looking for such gatherings, and when they find such a gathering, they begin to stack up on top of one another until eventually they transmit the message to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is a group of people that is sitting in His remembrance. So, as you're aware, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the angels that they should bear witness that Allah has forgiven all the people in that gathering. And that is a you know, very, very powerful statement concerning the gatherings of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've talked about this many times. But what's interesting is that that hadith actually continues. And I know we've talked about this as well, but I just want to put it in perspective. That hadith actually continues, and in particular, it's mentioned after the angels hear just the amazing reward and the amazing circumstance of the people who sit together for the remembrance of Allah and the fact that they're all forgiven, the angels recognizing what an amazing circumstance that is, they identify within the gathering one person who had no intention of being in the gathering. Meaning, they say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, yes, you know, we are witness that you have forgiven the entire gathering. However, there is a person in the gathering that actually is a wrongdoer. Right? This person had is not like the other pious people sitting in that gathering. Actually, he's a wrongdoer. And not only is he a wrongdoer, he actually joined the gathering by accident. He didn't even know why he was sitting. He just sat with those people. Meaning, you know, you just randomly pass by a gathering and just happen to sit down. You have no idea what's going on. So number one, he's a wrongdoer. Number two, he had no intention of really joining the gathering, right? And he has no purpose there. You know, he's not amongst those people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells the angels that, be my witness that I've forgiven that person too. The wrongdoer who sat with no intention randomly, I have forgiven that person too, because the one who sits with those people will not be deprived. Meaning the one who sits with the people who are in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not be deprived. Now, there's different ways to look at this particular hadith. I mean, the most obvious is that anytime there's a gathering in which the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is occurring, then that is a place that attracts angels. And when the angels are attracted, they continue to deliver this message to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is a group of people that is remembering Him. And the ability to earn that forgiveness remains till this day. So that's the first and most obvious interpretation. That when people gather for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that never goes unnoticed. And Allah will always capture that. And as a consequence of just the gathering in and of itself, forgiveness will be granted. So that's one obvious point of discussion concerning this hadith. The second obvious point of discussion is that it's such a powerful gathering and has such enormous effects that even the person who had no intention of sitting there gets the same benefit as all the other people who were there. And even the person who himself is a sinner, there's a wrongdoer who had no intention to sit there, he gets the exact same benefits as the rest of the gathering. So that also shows how powerful the gathering is. Because that ability of that forgiveness, that, why don't we say this, the envelope of that forgiveness is so all-encompassing that not only does it entrap all the people that are sitting there, it even entraps the random wrongdoer who ends up showing up there. So that's the sort of the most obvious interpretation. Now, the scholars, they actually expand the interpretation in their discussion. So that's like the, you know, the straightforward kind of obvious interpretation. They also expand the discussion to say that any person who associates with the people of dhikr, they end up joining the gathering and getting the benefits of the people of dhikr. So how would you look at it? Meaning that, look, we're a group of people, for example. I mean, who are we? We're 1,400 years removed from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people of dhikr, the people of piety, the people of deen have passed. All the great generations that were to come, they've come. There's just a handful of people left, and we're certainly not of them. But because we randomly sort of bump into a circumstance that allows us to be able to partake of those circumstances, and by spiritual connection, we get connected to those people, the hope is that spiritually we get the exact same benefit. So you can say it this way, that those gatherings don't only exist in time and space physically, but they exist spiritually. Meaning what we're doing is, and they call this in the parlance of tasawwuf, they call this the silsila. So there was a group of people that was pious, they sat together, they did dhikr, they were the people of piety, the people of remembrance, and they were forgiven. Okay? And then people attached themselves to those people. And they became, through that chain, they became forgiven. And that chain expands in both time and space. And space meaning like every person that was around them, that associated with them, gained that same benefit. So the people that they were with, the communities that they lived in, the gatherings that were established historically, those always affected the people that were around them. But also, we connect ourselves to a chain. Right? In our deen, we're very particular about our chains. We're particular about our chains for hifz. We're particular about our chains for learning. When somebody learns a book, they always obtain an ijazah. That's a spiritual connection to the people of remembrance. Right? The scholars are people of remembrance as well. So here you have a series of scholars that are the people of remembrance. And finally, you know, in the 40th generation, some random person named Zaid, who was born in America and has no clue what's up from down, right, because they're 1,400 years removed from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, plugs themselves into this tradition. And by plugging themselves into this tradition, even though they're a wrongdoer, even though they randomly ended up there, they receive the same benefit because that benefit is perpetuating across time and space. So they're joining that gathering in a way. They're spiritually joining that gathering. So this is, for example, why you'll see that the ulama of knowledge, it's very interesting, the ulama of knowledge are very free with their ijazas. The ulama of knowledge are very free with their ijazas. I can tell you that one time we were sitting with one of the famous Shaykh al-Hadith, and we were actually in Mecca Mukarramah in a hotel lobby. This was a few years back. We were sitting with a famous Shaykh al-Hadith, famous scholar, famous Shaykh al-Hadith, and we were in a lobby in Mecca Mukarramah, and he was sitting with us, and there were a few of us sitting, and one of the brothers sitting there said, "Hazrat, can I get ijazah in Bukhari?" Ijaza and Bukhari. I was like thinking in the back of my head, what? This guy is asking for Ijaza and Bukhari. He doesn't even need to know how to barely read Arabic. He's asking for Ijaza and Bukhari. So the sheikh, he says, okay, bring me a book, bring me a book. So everybody's scrambling, you know, find some copy of Bukhari. And we're in Medina Sharif. So, you know, somebody runs and grabs one. So they open it up and they give it to him. And he says, okay, read from anywhere. So he reads from anywhere. And he says, okay, alhamdulillah, mashallah, you have ijaza. And he writes out this really long ijaza from this person to this person to this person to this person to this person. And he hands a copy of the ijaza eventually to this person. So what was the idea there? There's two types of ijaza. Right? There's one ijaza for the people of dhikr. The one who's pious and hardworking and consistent and actually spends the time and effort and is working nonstop to be able to attain that degree of knowledge of hadith. That's the real ijaza. And those are the ijazas that these people hand out at the end of a 8-year alim course where all these people have been studying and working day and night, and then they give them an ijaza. But there's a second type of ijaza. There's a second type of ijaza for people like me, you. We're the wrongdoers. We just show up randomly. We didn't even have any intent. I mean, we didn't intend to sit there for 10 years and study hadith at the feet of this sheikh. But we just randomly, wrongdoers, bumped into this guy in a hotel lobby. You know, we're there because of the hotel, not because of him. So we bump into this guy in the hotel lobby, and we sit there and we say, you know, Hazrat, for the barukan, you know, for the barakah of the ijaza, can you drag us into this chain and make us in the company of the people of piety, the people of remembrance? So what happens? Out of their shafaqah, because they understand this benefit, they write this person an ijaza, not because they're giving this person an ijaza to go and teach Bukhari in their masjid or to make fatwa, but because they're saying, look, even the random person who bumps in, who has desire, even though they may not have the ability, they end up being enveloped by this barakah, by this mercy. That's the beauty of this deen. That's why people are so ready to hand out ijazas. And it took me forever, you know, because I come from a different background. I come from a background where you have to toil, write your thesis paper, do a project, and then they give you a degree. You know, and you're having post-traumatic stress disorder from years afterwards after they give you the degree. Nobody hands you a degree. I mean, they actually do this in this society as well. But I'm just saying, we come from that background. So when I would be in Syria, I would see these guys handing out ijazas like water. You know, somebody would come, Sheikh, I want ijaza in this. He'd be like, okay, you know, say this. Repeat after me, la ilaha illallah. I mean, it wasn't that simple. But then they hand out an ijaza. But that was a barakah ijaza. That wasn't an ijaza. It's like what they call an honorary degree, you know. You have this, like, person, they're very good at basketball. What does he know about physics? But they give him an honorary degree in physics, right? So it's like we're like the example of the honorary degree. Now, I mean, why am I talking about all this? I mean, it is an important discussion because it highlights the whole goal of what we have concerning suluk, right? I mean, nobody here is claiming to be the people of dhikr. We're not the people of dhikr. We're the people of ghafla. We're the people of dunya. And there's no doubt in that. And anybody needs to just, you know, take a pin and wake themselves up. That's the reality of who we are. But what our intent is in the gathering of suluk is that we attach ourselves to that silsila. That's what that silsila means. That's why they term it in the science of the tasawwuf. That's why they term it a silsila. Silsila means chain. So what happens is we connect to a chain where eventually in that chain there are people of remembrance, and that whole notion of the angels piling up, they're piling up above that silsila. They're piling up above that connection and saying these are the people who remembered Allah, and Allah inshallah forgives them. So that's the barakah, you know, like of the Bay'ah of Toba and all these reasons why people are so quick about Bay'ah of Toba. All of this is underneath that rubric of this one hadith and the discussion that arises with it. Now, why am I talking about all of this? So I just want to explain all of this in the context of last weekend. Now, look, last weekend, alhamdulillah, you know, we had this event, right, which was this, you know, brick dedication event that, you know, all of you are aware of because we've been talking about it for a few weeks. And, you know, I sat there at this event and it was just the most ajeeb thing in my mind. You know, like, I don't know how many of you had a chance to physically be there, but if you were there, you'll see that all these random people showed up and started writing all these random names. I don't even know who the people are, you know, just any names I could think of. It was like people were making wedding lists. You know, such that 1,500 people came, roughly, plus minus, and they signed 8,000 bricks. I'll tell you that we did not expect 8,000 bricks. In fact, I was saying, first we were saying 1,000 or 2,000. I freaked out, you know, in panic, and I said, no, have at least 5,000, because if 1,000 or 2,000 becomes 4,000, we won't be embarrassed on that day. So at least bring 5,000. So they said, no, we bring them by the pallet, so we'll just bring one truckload. And then they brought 8,000 or 10,000 or whatever. I think they brought 10,000. And I went there the day it was delivered, and I went there, and I'm putting my hand and counting the pallets and the rows and the numbers, like 500, 500, 500, 500, 500, like this. And I was relaxed that, you know, I counted up to 8 and I stopped. I saw there were more pallets in the corner, but I counted up to 8 and I stopped. And then now, you know, I'm seeing like all the pallets are pretty much used up, and we started counting all the bricks, and we're like 8,000 people, 8,000 names are on these bricks. Then I started thinking, like, subhanAllah, this example, our example, is exactly like the example of the people, of the sinners who randomly show up in the gatherings of dhikr. Look, there's pious people that came before us that built masajid. That sunnah starts with Rasulullah ﷺ in Medina Sharif, where they're carrying bricks and making a masjid. That's the gathering of piety. Then people came after them and mimicked that. The khulafa, the sulaha, the ulama, the people of piety, they established masajid. And all of a sudden, like we, these bunch of random kids and young people or whatever they are, you know, random people in America who essentially are people of dunya, like I said, we're the example of the people of ghafla. We live in the time when the ulama used to make dua that they wouldn't see. Right? Ulama made dua that they wouldn't see in the time of fitna. We live in the time of fitna and laugh and joke all day. We're texting and pictures. I live in fitna. Look, you know. So that's the reality of who we are. But what happened was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy, allowed the random sinners, the random people of ghafla, to be able to build His house. I'm sitting there looking at this and I'm wondering, like, where are we? And how did this even happen? Like, who are we to like put up this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He selected us to be able to do it. And all these random people are like writing their names. And then I was thinking, subhanAllah, people should just write as much as they can think of. Because in the end, all these bricks are like a silsila. They're all just one connection. And why did people come in the end? And you know, okay, we might be the wrongdoers, but we came there with an intent. These people all came with the excitement that the house of Allah was being established. They came with the excitement that maybe they can get their name on these bricks and these bricks will be placed on the building. They came for that reason alone. I mean, kids were coming and coloring their names on bricks, and you know, the healthy were there, the sick were there, the elderly were there, the young were there, sisters were there, brothers were there. Sisters signed as many bricks as the brothers. And I was counting, I was checking, you know. Subhanallah. And all these names that we put on the brick, I mean, essentially, what is it? It's a gathering of dhikr. That whole thing was a gathering of dhikr in which we tied ourselves to an event, and people came and then just started randomly writing names of whomever. They all became inclusive in that. That became like a silsila. It became like a connection. And the barakah of that is that the hope is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on the people of piety that came before us, the people of dhikr that came before us, and the fact that we showed up in their gathering, the hope is just from the mere coming and writing of names that Allah will forgive us and allow us to be able to perpetuate our efforts towards His deen. Look, we're just a bunch of random, we're ragtag. You know, I mean, like, it's like, we're like the junior high basketball team, you know, playing against the pros. Who are the pros? Shaitan. I mean, Shaitan is a pro. You know, we're not those pious people who were able to stand up to Shaitan and really put him in his place. Hazrat Umar walks one way, Shaitan walks another. We're not that. Shaitan, we walk one way, all the Shayateen come with us. Right? It's the opposite. But this is the mercy of Allah, that He even allows the random sinner to benefit from the connection to the pious. That's who we are. That's the example of what occurred last weekend. So when we were done, I mean, people were so excited. It was like Eid. I'm telling you, people came like it was their own wedding. People came like that. Everybody was so festive. Everybody was so excited. Everybody was smiling. You know, it was like multiple weddings were happening, or it was like Eid. But I mean, even on Eid, everybody's just like down a little bit, you know, like you don't get that kind of excitement. You're traveling here, traveling there. Everybody's trying to get tired. Everybody came with such passion and excitement. You know, the kids are excited. They were all happy. They were playing in the park. I didn't see kids complaining. Everybody was running around. Everybody was so excited to greet one another. And, you know, everyone who came said the same thing. They said this was such a uplifting event. It was such a spiritual event. And yeah, of course it's a spiritual event. Because why? Because it was a mahfil of dhikr. It was a place of remembrance where a bunch of people came together remembering the effort that they have to make towards deen. And even if they're not able to do a good job, and even if they're lacking in their ability, and even if they didn't even intend half the time and things just work out their way, Allah even accepts that based on the connection with the people of piety that came before us. Why did we do this? Because we are following in the footsteps of the people that came before us. And we see that as an honor, as a blessing. We don't cut ourselves from the cord. We're connected by that cord to the past. That's our tradition. That's our silsila. And we're dedicated to that. We know that we're not dedicated. We're dependent on that. We know that that's our umbilical cord that keeps us alive. So that these types of opportunities, they don't come every day. But they are very, very special. And we should take part in them, and we should honor them, and we should be excited about them, and we should be thankful about them. We should appreciate what they actually represent. So anyway, I mean, the point is I wanted to just share this notion that this is who we are. This is the connection that we have. And that, you know, we take advantage of that. The gatherings that we have, whether they'll be the ulama having gatherings, or, you know, the people of dawah having gatherings, or the people of dhikr having gatherings. Any of these gatherings, when they're established for the remembrance of Allah, whether that be in our time or whether that be connected to the people in another time, it becomes a chain. And those angels begin to stack up, both in time and space. And that barakah continues to flow. You know, there's a statement that a scholar once made to me. We were sitting in a gathering, and everybody had just finished a big act of ibadah, whether it was tawaf or umrah, I can't remember what it was. So like everybody had gone for umrah, and then we gathered together, and everybody was like in the lobby, I think. And there was a lot of noise and a lot of excitement. Everyone was talking. Everybody was excited. It was very festive. It was very festive. And the scholar said to me that, subhanAllah, you can see the signs of acceptance. So I said, what do you mean? How do you see the signs of acceptance? He said, the way that you see people so festive, this is a sign of Allah's mercy that they've achieved something and they've removed the burden of their sins, and that allows the soul to be festive. So, I mean, these are our festivities. These are the things we celebrate. That's why we celebrate the Eids. In the end, what are the Eids a celebration of? The Eids are a celebration of Allah's forgiveness. Ramadan is a huge time of forgiveness. The day of Arafah is a huge time of forgiveness. We're celebrating and we're festive because of that forgiveness. That's what allows us to uplift ourselves and be festive. That's what allowed people to be festive. Even the mayor came and hung out for 2 hours. What does he have to do there for 2 hours? He was feeling it, you know, as they say. He was feeling it. He was so excited. He's signing bricks and talking and chatting with everybody, and he's just hanging out. So that's just the nature of these things. And these are things that we're very grateful for and very thankful for. And, you know, like I've said, you know, we still have some bricks to sign. And we should go there and sign the names. Don't hesitate. I've been telling everybody I bump into, you know, go there and sign names. They're like, well, you know, if I sign 30 names, I have to give $3,000. No, you don't have to give $3,000. We established that from the beginning. You don't have to give anything. We want you to give you. That's the point. That's the whole point of this. The money comes and goes. We want people to give themselves. That was when people came, they gave themselves. They gave us their names. We wanted those names. We wanted to make a chain. We wanted to have a bunch of people come together to attract Allah's mercy. That's what we wanted. That we don't need dollars for that. Dollars are easy to come by. It's hard for people to come with their hearts. That's what we're grateful for. That's what we want. That's why we want people to keep signing. there's bricks there. They're still there to be signed, and people should go and sign them. You know, we have, we're arranging times for people to be able to do that until the last brick, which, you know, essentially will happen in a few weeks, inshallah. But anyway, I mean, this is just an opportunity that we should be grateful for and we should take advantage of. So that was what I wanted to share. And it's that festivity and that the benefit that arises, that's not just something made up. That's predicated on something that came before. And you find examples of that in hadith. So this is something that we should be grateful for, we should be thankful for, we should continue to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our building of a, you know, our highly deficient efforts in building a building for the creator of the universe. You know, I mean, building the house of the creator of the universe. We're making an effort, but obviously we have nothing to offer in that regards because of the perfection of to whom we're offering. But this is Allah's mercy that He accepts, inshallah, and that He allows us to be able to celebrate in that. I mean, honestly, we all should have gone there and cried. If you really want to look at it on paper, we all should have gone there and cried. We should have cried that, you know, Allah deserves X. And even if you took the whole planet and wrapped it up and gave it to Allah, it would be nothing compared to His, you know, his dominion. It's Allah's miracle and mercy that He accepts this tiny little house that we create and present to Him. That's Allah's mercy. It's predicated on Allah's mercy. So we should be grateful for the opportunity. We should recognize that that opportunity has been given to us by our Lord. And we should be cognizant of what a unique circumstance that is. And I think, you know, just by being there, you felt that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts. May He keep us in the company of the people of piety and the people of remembrance. And may He make us among those who are able to achieve His forgiveness by sitting with the people of piety and the people of dhikr. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.